Should drivers for companies like Lyft and Uber be allowed to unionize? They can't do that right now because they're considered independent contract workers. That could change in Seattle. City Council member Mike O'Brien introduced a proposal to let drivers unionize, and later today the council is expected to vote on it. Now, Paul Guppy with the Washington Policy Center, he says this is not about letting people do something. He says this proposal would force drivers to be union members whether they want to or not. Dawn Gearhart with the Teamsters 117 union, which is working with the drivers on unionization, she says drivers want to be able to openly weigh the benefits of union membership.
So the law could pass today and drivers could say, actually, we don't need representation. We have dignity. We're making a living wage. And they could choose not to form an association or join a union for representation. They still have that option. This law just gives them the right to say that we deserve representation and we want that. It doesn't have anything to do with the hours they work or the flexibility of that type of work. So drivers are going to simply say to the companies, you told us when we signed up that we were having a partnership, that we're going to be your partners. And if we're partners, we should have a conversation about the day-to-day operations of our business and the amount of income we're able to generate.
So here's a central question. Is this law coercing Uber drivers who don't want to be in a union, Paul, or is it not?
Sure, it's coercing. That's the whole business model of the way a union is set up, is that they become the exclusive bargaining unit for a group of workers. And if there's a minority of workers that doesn't want to be part of that, they don't have any choice about it. So it takes choice away from the individual who says, I work for Uber because it's flexible. I like the extra income. Often it's a second income for families. But whatever the personal motivation is to participate in the digital economy and drive for Uber, those drivers don't necessarily want to be forced into an organization and pay dues when that's not the reason that they picked that kind of work in the first place.
I think that's a really, you know, a really interesting take on it, except that drivers are the ones who've really been moving this bill and asking for this legislation. They've come forward since 2013 mentioning that they had problems with these companies and that they want an innovative way to have rights at work without being called employees. And this piece of legislation is really there to give drivers that choice. Right now, it's a one-sided conversation where there's an extreme imbalance of power. There's an extreme information asymmetry for the workers. But I think if you were to talk to the Uber drivers I talk to every day, they would say they do love the flexibility. They do want this to be a good job. And when they started working for the company, it was a good job. But that has taken a change over the past several years. And that's where they feel that they need to have a say in what happens to them.
So I don't think it's realistic to say that unions don't come with restrictions in the workplace. That's what they negotiate over. That's what they're for. What we're saying is that most people in most workplaces in America have dignity. They're earning their benefits. They're treated well by their employers. Otherwise, they would quit. And that Uber drivers are in the same position, that they should be allowed to make choices for their life as to whether they work for Uber or not, what hours they can work, they can stop, they can do whatever they like. And that's the great thing about the smartphone app, is that it directly connects the customer with someone who wants to provide the service and earn money. And when an Uber driver doesn't want to do that anymore, he or she can stop whenever they like. And that's the kind of flexibility we think is needed.
Dawn, Paul says Uber drivers must be treated well enough or they'd quit.
A lot of drivers have come forward and said, if I had the opportunity to quit, I would. But instead, I invested in a vehicle. I quit my other job and started driving for Uber. When I first started driving, I was making $35 an hour. They said I would make $70,000 a year. I really thought I was making a smart business choice for myself, making an investment and purchasing a vehicle. Now I'm on the road and I'm making less than $3 an hour and I still have a car payment to make. And so my options are to continue working and try to make that car payment, which in some cases was financed actually through the company, or try to get another job and work. And I want to get back to the point about this rigidity or this idea about a loss of flexibility and what unions do. Where they've lost flexibility is actually in the fact that when drivers first started working for these companies, they were making a living wage. They were making more than a living wage. And now, because rates have dropped so drastically without any say of the drivers, people are forced to work instead of 8 hours. They have to work 12 hours. That's where they're really losing flexibility, is in trying to make those ends meet, where companies continue to cut and cut and cut rates in order to compete with one another. Drivers are forced to spend much more time on the road where they normally could have worked a second job or spent more time with their family. They have to spend more time on their app to make the same income they were making a year ago.
So I guess the question would be, if Uber drivers are so anxious to get a union, then why do you need a law to force it? So what Councilmember O'Brien is doing is he wants to create a law in Seattle that it says if you don't meet certain conditions and join an organization and pay dues or fees, then you are not allowed to drive for Uber. You will be fired. And that's exactly the situation that Seattle teachers are under. You're either part of the union or you do not work for the Seattle School District. That's all there is to it. And that extends this monopoly model into the Uber workplace, into the digital workplace, where people are coming because of flexibility. So Dawn makes a lot of great points. And it seems to be that if Uber drivers feel that way, they wouldn't need a coercive law from the city in order to form the organization that would represent them. They're allowed to do that now under the First Amendment of the Constitution. Anybody can form a voluntary association and join together to advance their own interests.
And that's exactly what Uber drivers have done. Back in 2013, April, I received a letter from the driver who actually completed the first Uber trip in Seattle. And he was saying, we don't know what our rights are. We feel that we're being exploited. We'd like help organizing. But because of our classification, right now, we can't form a union. And so drivers formed an association that's represented by Teamsters 117 several years ago. And they've done just what Paul was alluding to. They've come together to have representation. The piece that's missing and what's not happening is that companies are not coming to the table. What the law does is it says, here, drivers, you have this right. And companies, if drivers choose to exercise this right, you need to be part of the conversation with them. The only people that this really puts a restriction on are the companies. And the restriction is that they have to be part of the conversation with drivers.
So, Paul, so are we saying that Uber drivers, for example, they can form an association now?
Sure.
But because of the way our economy has changed, it's the employers that have more and more of the power. And without this Seattle law, you're saying that drivers don't have the leverage to bring the companies to the table.
Yeah, great point. So this is the heart of the matter, is that it is about power. And that's what the union wants when it comes to union Uber drivers. And the ordinance that Seattle is thinking of passing is not help. It's not assistance. It doesn't give you the right to organize because Uber drivers already have that. What it does is it's coercive force that requires Uber drivers to join an organization. Otherwise, you cannot drive for Uber. It's not so much as to what it would do to Uber as a corporation. I'm sure they can take care of their own interests. What it is the impact on the individual who says, I find this kind of work useful. I like the extra income. It's flexible. I have my own automobile. But now I can't be part of this. I'm barred from it if this law passes because I don't want to join a union and pay dues or fees.
So Dawn Gearhart with Teamsters 117 Union. To sum up here, if you have the city council's ear as they're about to vote, what's the one thing you want the city council to think about before they take this vote on Uber unionization?
What I want the city council to think about is whether or not the people of Seattle believe in a situation where people should make a living wage and should not be exploited at work, or if we're willing to say that because their work happens over an app or because their work is on a smartphone that exploitation is okay. We took a position that we support people making $15 an hour and we support people having paid sick and safe leave. But at the same time, we have drivers who are working for companies like Uber, who when they had their taxes done for 2014, were making $2.64 an hour. There's this interesting dichotomy where we're looking at a city that embraces technology, embraces innovation, wants to have fewer cars on the road. But at the same time, we have a largely refugee, largely immigrant workforce who's on the road making, you know, one fifth of what we say people should make per hour and still trying to say that that's okay because it's flexible or that's okay because it happens on a smartphone. I want the city council to understand that they're making a choice to put the power in the hands of the people who actually keep our city moving rather than the companies who take a hands-off approach to being part of our civic process.
Paul Guppy, the city council members turn to you for advice as they consider this vote on Uber driver unionization. Yes.
What I would say to the city council is to protect the right of people to choose to drive for Uber without being forced into an organization they may not want to drive, may not want to join. And so, you know, I don't think it's right or fair that people should be fired from their jobs because they may not want to join a union or pay dues. I also think that they should consider keeping Seattle on the cutting edge of the digital economy. This is what makes Seattle a great place with the new technical economy under Amazon and Microsoft, and to impose restrictions that are kind of a throwback to the 19th century or the 20th century, that there's a restrictive union that comes in to determine the relationship between workers and the employer, I think is really going to slow down innovation and and take us off the map as far as the digital economy goes. The reason that people started companies like Uber and why people join it is because it's flexible, because there's a direct connection between the customer and calling for a service, and that's nimble and flexible and responsive. And when you start layering on the power relationship that this bill would propose, you start to dampen that down and take it away.
Paul Guppy with the Washington Policy Center and Don Gearhart with the Teamsters 117 Union talking about today's vote. The Seattle City Council is expected to vote on whether or not to let drivers for companies like Lyft and Uber unionize here. If it passes, Seattle would be the first city in America where that's happening. We'll have that vote result for you and reaction to it right here on KUOW 94.9 Seattle News and Information.